Hey, it's Mike Halford from the Halford and Bruff podcast. One, thanks for downloading. Two, thanks for listening. Three, why not leave a review while you listen to the podcast? And now, back to the show. Good morning, Vancouver. 6:01 on a Wednesday. It is Halford, it is Bruff, it is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Nephew Dom, how are you now?
I'm Gucci.
Laddie?
I'm awesome.
Excellent. The Halford and Bruff Show in the morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Here's the hook. You don't have to have bought or purchased your Acura from any of the three Acura dealerships. Let's test Laddie. Laddie, do you know the three Acura dealerships?
Come on. You already got me with the Terminal Avenue thing.
I got Dom with the Terminal Avenue thing. One is North Shore Acura. Two is Acura of Langley. Three is Burrard Acura on Terminal Avenue. So you can bring your car in for servicing, assuming it is an Acura, despite not having bought at any of the three dealerships, because they have the best customer service in the biz. Visit them today. Experience the Dilawri difference. This show is also brought to you by shopintercity.ca, shopintercity.ca. Steakhouse quality meals delivered to your doorstep. Anywhere in Greater Vancouver, use promo code SPORTSNET20 at checkout for $20 off your next order.
Dom was begging you to ask him a question.
I had to get through the business.
Begging
first.
You to ask him a question when you said, "How are you?"
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I'm Gucci."
Do you know what that means? Do you get the reference?
Dom, how was the movie House of Gucci?
The movie itself... I will say...
I don't want a long review.
No, just a bit forgettable.
Wrap it up.
Understand why it was given some poor reviews. However, uh-huh. Jason, I wanted your opinion specifically because...
I haven't seen it.
The last time... No, of my movie-going experience, because the last time you went to a theater, you regaled us of a tale of how bad a time you had with the rustling of the popcorn and the...
Sitting up front. And my neck still hurts.
So last night, I went to the fine cinema that is Landmark Cinemas.
Mm-hmm.
And
in New West?
In New West.
Okay.
Fine seat, no problem.
Okay.
But here's the kicker. In front of me, there wasn't one.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six... Not seven.
Count them, eight Gen Z kids with their phones out the entire movie.
Oh, that's brutal.
Using
that's
flash
brutal.
Photography on Snapchat.
No way.
And talking like very loudly.
Brutal.
Throughout the entire film.
Did you say anything?
Three times we said something.
Really?
Didn't help.
Were you with your, who were you with?
I was with the girlfriend, her sister, and her brother-in-law.
Okay. I'm getting angry right now thinking about
that.
And
I don't know what to do. Like, what is the recourse in that situation?
Call the police.
You need to throw hands. Thunder and lightning. I'm showing my fists right now as thunder and lightning. That's what you need to do.
That's
too
bad.
It's so distracting.
Yeah, that's brutal. Put your phone away at the movie.
You know those viral videos that show up from time to time where there's like a fight breaks out in a public place?
Sure.
That was you last night because they had the phones and you had thunder and lightning. You could have done it. I'm not advocating violence, by the way.
I'm not that guy.
It's far too early for that. Well, that's disappointing. You should write Landmark Cinemas a strongly worded email.
It wasn't their fault.
It kind of was.
Yeah, they got to control the people.
Yeah, you have to intervene at that point.
Yeah, they got to send in the riot police for sure then.
The riot. Yeah. Send the SWAT team.
Tear gas them.
Speaking of bad behavior, what a segue as we introduce our daily poll question here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. This entire opening segment, we're going to talk about the NHL. I don't think we're going to talk about a single on-ice thing. And because there's so much off-ice news going on right now. Who is the NHL's biggest current villain? There's lots of options. You forgot the other, by the way, in the poll question. There needs to be an other.
An other, please reply.
Right. We love our
other.
You
need your brackets there, Dom. Don't forget.
Look
you
underneath.
Need your brackets.
Look underneath when Bruff replies. Other.
Oh, that's what that means.
That's what that means.
Okay, I'll repost this.
However, three guys in the news yesterday. Evander Kane, Brad Marchand, and Brendan Lemieux, all of them for various reasons, which we can get into shortly. And then the fourth, of course, is other. I am going to vote right now for... Let's get Brendan Lemieux. a vote. He needs it.
Brendan Lemieux?
Yeah, he set the record.
That's the first time I've really, like, thought about Brendan Lemieux.
He might be the most hated player in the league right now.
Right.
He also set the record. Congratulations to Brendan Lemieux for biting. 5-game suspension for biting. The previous high was 3, set by Dave Manson back in 1990.
Okay, so that's our poll question. We'll get into all these stories in a little segment called What Happened?
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No. What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it?
You missed that?
What happened?
And our guest today, by the way, Greg Wyshynski at 6:30. Ken Warren to talk about the Ottawa Senators, who the Canucks play tonight, looking for 2 straight wins. Ken Warren at 7 o'clock. Vanni Sartini. Now, who's that?
Andiamo.
The manager of the Vancouver Whitecaps, no longer the interim manager of the Vancouver Whitecaps. And at 8 o'clock, yep, it's a 4-guest day, John Shorthouse to preview tonight's Canucks Senators game and also to probably tell a few stories. So is What Happened brought to the listeners by anyone?
Yes.
Okay.
Shopintercity.ca.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Is there a read or anything like that goes along with that? Or you just,
nope.
It's just brought to us by
Shopintercity. Just brought to us by Shopintercity.ca.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So where do we want to start yesterday? Let's start with this biting suspension. I very much enjoyed the narration of the suspension for Brendan Lemieux, especially where they felt the need to still put, this is not a hockey player.
Play.
This is not a hockey play. This is a player delivering a forceful, intentional, and potentially dangerous bite to the bare hand of another player with sufficient force to puncture the skin. Why do they have to continue the formula there?
Don't know.
Like, we all know biting is not a hockey play.
Mm-hmm.
And they still took the jargon of, like...
how biting works.
Like a high shoulder check or something. You know, like, this is a player delivering... We know it's a player. We know because we're talking about suspensions. Just say, it was a bite.
Can't bite people.
That's it. That's all you got to do. You don't have to say this is a player delivering a forceful, intentional, and potentially dangerous bite to the bare hand of another player. Just say, this is biting, and we all know this is not allowed.
I wonder if maybe they felt the need to do that because it wasn't a glove that was mashed into the mouth, and it was the bare skin of Brady Kachuk.
It should just be, this is a bite.
Is there
you ever... don't bite? That's what they should have said. Who bites?
I saw so many people were like, this. It's obviously an indefensible act. To which I would say, well, if you stick your hand in someone's mouth, you have to at least expect the possibility.
You're still defending Burroughs to this very day, aren't you?
You stick a glove in a guy's mouth.
Still defending Burr. To this very day.
Kids don't even do that anymore. Babies do that.
That's not true. Having been around some children, I can tell you, biting is fair game. No, I mean, it was amusing, to put it mildly, to see that the NHL went to such great lengths to explain said bite. So Brendan Lemieux now sets the NHL record for most games ever suspended for a bite. 5 for biting. We all got that out of our system.
Can we also admit that it was hilarious that... there was circumstantial evidence that there were multiple bites.
Yes.
During the fight, but the NHL continued, due to a lack of evidence, this decision does not include an analysis of how Kachuk ended up bleeding from his right hand. Did he also bite the left?
There were allegations. If you watch the scrum on the ice... there are allegations that there was multiple bites.
Was he just like, chomp, 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 chomp,
no,
chomp, chomp?
No, he was prone, lying on his back. I'm doing the acting now in studio. Make sure we get this video up there as I reenact the one-man show of biting. And then Kachuk kind of smothers him with forearms and hands.
Mm.
And I don't know if you're aware of this enough, but Brendan Lemieux didn't care for that.
Right.
And then that's when the biting started.
That's when the non-hockey play.
That's right.
Began.
The non-hockey biting took place. So, on the subject of biting, a former victim Well, his teammate was a former victim, as we mentioned, the Alex Burrows incident from now a decade ago. I want to get into this Brad Marchand stuff because this really captured a lot of people's attention yesterday in what can only be described as maybe the NHL's biggest moment of a lack of self-awareness ever. Brad Marchand, yes, that Brad Marchand, spoke to the media after being suspended three games for slew-footing Canucks defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Now, it should be noted that, and I'll preface this by giving him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, but technically speaking, Brad Marchand has a point. I hate acknowledging this and I hate admitting this because by the NHL's rule, as it pertains to suspensions and whatnot, if you have a clean slate for 18 months, right, where you keep your nose clean, your past history can't be used against you in...
Yes, it can, Mike.
No.
You do not understand this.
You got it wrong. You've got an 18-month bill of health.
His history is always taken into account. The repeat offender thing is purely for fines.
Right.
How do you not get this yet? We've done this multiple times.
So
you do not get everything wiped out.
You get everything wiped
clean.
You get 18 months and you get a fresh start in life.
Oh, my God.
He brought it up yesterday,
too.
It's
so frustrating.
After he got fined for the Panarin, after he got fined for this one and suspended, he said, well, I got another 18 months now. So anyway, larger point. Brad Marchand spoke yesterday about how he has changed not just his game, but his entire approach to the game. Can we play the audio first? This was in the aftermath of what being asked about his three-game suspension for slew-footing Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
I feel like I've completely transformed myself from the player I was to, you know, a player that should be respected in this league for his abilities. And you know, but again, I understand completely the history that that I have. And you know, I just was hoping that they would have seen past that, and obviously that wasn't the case.
Here's a question for you. You've talked at length about this, that you think Marchand is a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
He's on track to become that. And he pointed out later that in the last, I think it's three calendar years, the only guys that have scored more points than him in the league are Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
And Marchand isn't just an offensive player either. He's
right.
A pretty good penalty killer as well.
But do you agree with what he said, that has somehow earned him?
No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's like, you don't get a little present because you've decided to play like every other player in the NHL. Well, most of them, the non-biters.
Mm-hmm.
95% of players in the NHL always have a relatively sportsmanlike standard that they play by.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a standing ovation if you meet that standard.
Right.
That's just the
right.
standard
right.
that's expected
right.
of a player in the NHL, of a human being in mm-hmm. the NHL. So you don't get like, it's like that Simpsons clip where, you know, Homer looks at Bart, and after Bart's done something wrong again, and Homer's like, "Oh, you look at that hangdog expression! Like, he, you know, let's get him a present, right?"
He took Grandpa Simpson's dentures,
right?
Yeah,
but it's so silly, right? And Brad Marchand has a history in the NHL. Unfortunately, you can't wipe it away, buddy.
I think
there, and when you go and slew foot a guy,
yeah.
Very obviously, unless you're Jack Edwards, when you go and slew foot a guy and you get a three-game suspension, you have to say, well, you know what? I just haven't thrown a perfect game in the NHL in terms of my behavior, so I kind of have to deal with this.
That's the problem with cancel culture, you know?
There's no room for redemption anymore. Everyone just wants to hold you down. I thought it was bananas. Bananas that he went up there and said that. It's like you have to have some ownership of your past behavior. And we're not talking like one or two past incidents. There's six or seven.
I'm still mad at the low bridge he put on Sammy Salo.
Right. And that was a long time ago, granted. But it was still a
I'm
history.
I'm still mad, though.
Yeah. Do you even remember the whole licking incident with Ryan Callahan?
Yeah.
Like these, it's this rainbow.
People don't forget.
Kaleidoscope of crappy behavior across the board that he wants to wipe out because in the last 3 years he's put up a lot of points. It's mind-boggling that the Bruins let him go up there and say that out loud.
And now, granted, this might be a little bit biased in Vancouver, but our poll question today, who's the NHL's biggest current villain?
Mm-hmm.
Evander Kane, Brad Marchand, Brendan Lemieux, who Halford voted for some reason.
I felt bad for him. He wasn't getting enough votes.
Brad Marchand is getting 64% of the vote. Now, again, little biased here in Vancouver. That being said, how many other cities can remember a quote-unquote incident with Brad Marchand against their team? You know, if you had this poll question in Montreal, you might have Brad Marchand winning this poll question. I voted for Evander Kane because...
And we're going to get to him in a moment.
Yeah, I mean, another dose of a lack of awareness. Mm-hmm. Like, you talked about the lack of self-awareness with Brad Marchand and how... Brad Marchand had expected a cookie for playing the game the right way for a couple years.
For 2 years.
Evander Kane acting like, I didn't notice any dressing room tension. That was news to me. I was like, yeah, that's probably the problem, Evander.
Yeah.
That maybe, Evander, you are a little too focused on yourself.
Before we turn it over to the Evander Kane stuff, the totals on Marchand, just to give an idea, this is what he wants to have erased from history, essentially. 7 suspensions, 5 fines, 22 games lost, $971,000 in forfeited salary. So almost $1 million, all because of his transgressions on the ice. Now, we move on to Evander Kane.
Oh, and by the way, the people, I had a few people respond to me on Twitter that were like, if he were a Canuck, he'd be a fan favorite. To which I responded in my mind, because I didn't want to get into a Twitter fight,
mm-hmm.
But he's not a Canuck.
Right.
So he's not a fan favorite here, right? Like, obviously, if you're a really good player,
mm-hmm.
but you're a little dirty, you can be a fan favorite.
Canucks employed Matt Cook. Like, Canucks employed Raffy Torres.
I mean, that's welcome to sports.
Well,
sometimes you know, when you're a fan of the team, you'll let things go.
When I was diligently prepping the show yesterday, I was actually formed this question is who would you rather, because it was a Would You Drather Wednesday, who would you rather have on your team, Marchand, Kane, or Lemieux? But then I thought that Marchand would run away
Marchand
with it.
Marchand by a mile.
Right, he'd run away with it.
Such a terrific player.
Yeah.
It's infuriating.
Yeah. Now,
the other guy that didn't make this list, by the way, and maybe it says something about, I don't know, maybe we just forgot him, was Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson, no longer on this list.
He could be the other. Did you repost the poll question,
yeah,
by the way, with the other? Okay, yeah. So he
most of people are replying, unfortunately. Not unfortunately, because that's their right. Other is like Canucks management.
Canucks media. I saw Canucks media in there. Very clever.
Mm-hmm.
Very clever. Okay, Evander Kane. In case you missed it, over the past 48 to 72 hours, Kane came off his 21-game suspension for falsifying COVID vaccine documents and returned to the San Jose organization. I say organization because as soon as the suspension was up, the Sharks waived him and then sent him down to their AHL team, also in San Jose, called the Barracuda. Singular, not plural. Yesterday, Kane met with the media for the first time and didn't take a lot of ownership for, quite frankly, anything, at least not publicly. We'll run two specific clips here. The first pertains to the perceived issues that he has in that San Jose Sharks dressing room, because there were a lot of reports that the players didn't want him back in that room. And a matter of fact, when almost all the players that were asked about Kane answered, they issued a no comment or said, he's not part of the team right now, so I don't need to discuss him. Wasn't exactly a huge endorsement for Evander Kane. Here's Evander Kane on his perception about issues within that dressing room.
I don't think you're going to have a group of people for... call it, I mean, it was COVID last year, shortened season, 150 days, 160 days, get along perfectly. But I think there's been a big misconception of the entire team or multiple players. I think it's, you know, it's funny, you know, I had my end of the year meeting last year and it was nothing positive, and how great I was with the young guys and, you know, how great of a season I had. But, you know, apparently something happened in the summer that I was unaware of. So it was all new to me and news to me. So it was interesting.
He's had problems with teammates pretty much every stop of the way, right? There was a problem with teammates in Winnipeg They grew tired of his act in Buffalo.
Yep.
And the, he's just...
Here's the thing, though.
He just is what he is.
The way I wanted to frame this was I could not believe that Bruins PR would... Maybe they didn't ask him beforehand. They didn't know what he was going to say. But I was stunned that that was the angle that Brad Marchand was... Thought this is the way I should approach this. I was floored that that was the approach that Evander Kane was going to take.
Why were you
with
floored?
Everything.
He's a bit of a narcissist. I don't
because
know if you've noticed
Because most
that.
Guys, when they get suspended 21 games, and you're the only one for breaking that, you would think someone at a PR level would say, try and show the tiniest bit of remorse, or try and show some contriteness, or try and show that you feel like you did something wrong. He was talking about when he filed bankruptcy, and he put it in the context of, well, you know, I filed bankruptcy last year. Scored 30 goals, had the best year of my career. It was pure defiance across the board. Now, the COVID vaccine scandal, I'll put it, where he falsified documents and was dinged for it. He really punted on the entire thing. It's brief. Is it the two questions in a row that we have here? Do we? Okay. We'll run the entirety of it. Here's Evander Kane addressing the reason that he was suspended for one quarter of the NHL season for falsifying COVID vaccination documents.
Yeah, you'll have to refer to the NHL statement that they put out via the suspension. You know, I served my time, did my 21 games, and now I'm back.
You know what? I'm fully vaccinated, and
that's really all I have to say about it.
I have no idea what team right now is going to go out on a limb and take Evander Kane, but based on everything that you're seeing, that he hired the new agent, the Sharks opened the negotiations publicly, basically, by saying that they're willing to retain half of his salary. And I was listening to American Friedman yesterday already talking about, well, are the Sharks going to have to throw in a sweetener? To me, that suggests that he's going to be back playing with someone in the not-too-distant future.
Some team will be like, we feel we have a strong enough leadership group that Evander can... I mean, like Pittsburgh. You see him going to Pittsburgh?
I can now.
See, here's the thing, right? If you think about it, Pittsburgh doesn't have much to sell because they've sold everything.
That's right.
The cupboards are super bare, but it's not going to cost much to get them.
Yeah, if you want a high-impact guy at a low price, yeah, you're not going to get a much better fit. It's wild, though. I mean, again, it was a very interesting day for villainous NHLers, but we will close, I would say, maybe on a brighter side. I like Jack Hughes. He's a good little kid.
Well,
his brother
news.
Plays here.
It's good news for Jack Hughes.
It sure is good news for Jack Hughes. We joked that the negotiations went, Jack, here's a contract offer. And Jack said, oh, my God. And then he took it right away. 8 years, $64 million extension for Jack Hughes with the New Jersey Devils yesterday. This, after only playing in 119 NHL games over the course of his very young NHL career.
But at least he had 55 points in those games.
So there's a thing.
Half a point a game, pretty much.
I was very stunned to see this deal for this guy coming out. And now, he's in the final year of his ELC. Mm-hmm. They're going to bypass any sort of bridge deal or anything.
It's just a bet.
I would say it's a gamble for sure.
Yep.
Because,
but if it turns out and he turns into the type of player that everyone expected him to be when he was drafted first overall in 2019, in 4, 5, 6 years, this could be a bargain. That being said, I'm very curious to talk to our next guest, our first guest of the day, Greg Wyshynski, Wish is a Devils fan, and he admits it. And I'm just curious what he thinks of this deal. I haven't watched much of Jack Hughes. Like, who tunes in for Devils games, right? Like, the
guilty as charged.
The Devils are playing. Let's go watch them, right?
I mean, a big Jesper Bratt fan.
I think they're a team on the rise, for sure. But I'm still not to the point where I'm like, oh, the Devils are on. So we'll talk to Wish about that. We'll talk to Wish about Marchand and Evander Kane. And as a favor to all of you, we haven't even mentioned the Canucks today. But they do have a game tonight,
yeah,
against the Ottawa Senators. We'll get into that later on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Six 6:32 on a Wednesday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Halford and Bruff of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today.
Mike and I had a fight.
It wasn't a fight.
It wasn't a fight, but...
We're trying to...
It's the whole repeat offender status.
Right, but you seem to think that I'm talking about the amount of games that Marshawn got for the slew foot, whereas I'm saying he feels he shouldn't have been suspended at all. It was actually one of the articles from ESPN. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN is going to join us in a minute. That said he's been warned repeatedly for slew footing, but not within the last whatever.
But the repeat offender has nothing to do with the amount of games you
yes.
get. You
That's
can still consider if a player comes into the league as
yes.
a rookie and does something that gets him suspended, and 10 years later he does something that gets him suspended, he's not technically a repeat offender then,
right.
but the Department of Player Safety can still consider what he did in his rookie season in doling out a suspension.
Right, so what I was talking about wasn't length of a suspension, it was suspension, period, because Marshawn had that quip at the end where he's like, well, it looks like I got another 18 months, like he was serving some sort of jail sentence.
Well it is for him, because it's cost him a lot of money being a repeat offender, that's
yeah,
why.
Nearly $1 million in salary. Anyway, we are also brought to you by ShopIntercity.ca, ShopIntercity.ca. Order now. This is the start of December. Happy December. Welcome to December, everybody. December 1st now. All your Christmas ornaments.
Pay your rent.
Go up. Yep, do that as well. And start ordering for your holiday meals at ShopIntercity.ca. I got not one, but two parquetas for Christmas dinner.
Oh, lovely.
I'm excited about that. Let's go to the phone lines now. Joined by our good buddy, as we are every Wednesday on this program, Greg Wyshynski from ESPN here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. What up, Wish?
I like this new character that Jason's trying out where he's like a slumlord. He's like, pay your rent. Great.
Merry Christmas. Where's my money?
I own multiple apartment buildings.
Yeah. How's it going?
I will not be fixing the sinks.
Wish.
Dude, if you own multiple apartment buildings in Vancouver, chances are you would not be doing this radio.
Yeah, I know.
Reaping the benefits.
I am highly leveraged.
You would have that Jack Hughes money that we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get to Jack, I wanted to dive in on your brief player safety
yes.
Conversation. Because, as you know, I'm a scholar of such things.
Yes.
It's semantics. The repeat offender term is, as you guys said, only applied to the financial penalty that comes with a suspension if it's done, you know, if you're suspended within that, like your 18 months probation period or whatever. But in Marchand's case, yeah, so we've talked a lot about how player safety is always looking at repeat offenders and stuff like that. But what they're really looking for is patterns of behavior.
Right.
And if you're doing the same thing over and over again, the function of player safety is not only supplemental discipline for stuff that happens on the ice that isn't sufficiently disciplined, but it's also, you know, the mission since Brendan Shanahan founded it 10 years ago was to change the behavior of players. So if you're someone like Marchand who has been suspended before for basically the same play on Derek Brassard back in 2015, if you watch the video, it's nearly identical. He's been fined for slew footing. He's been fined for dangerous tripping. He was suspended famously for clipping Sammy Salo. Like, he's done this a lot on top of being warned about his behavior by the department on multiple occasions. So this really falls into the education of the player kind of aim for the Department of Player Safety. And clearly he's flunked this course because he's still doing the same thing over and over again. And hence that's why you get three games.
Okay. Well, on that note, what did you think about Marshawn's explanation and what he said yesterday that he felt he deserved, for lack of a better phrase, more benefit of the doubt? And then you go back and you're like, well, you've been suspended seven times. You've missed 22 games. Like, it's terrific.
You're not 98 years old now.
It's terrific that you haven't done anything of note since 2018, but you sure did a lot of stuff between 2011 and 2018. I was almost stunned by the gall that he thought that everyone should just forget what made Brad Marchand Brad Marchand, but that's what he did.
I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt from the public. You know, the fact of the matter is that he's not a guy that low bridges everybody all the time. He's still a guy that yaps. I mean, we've gone several years without a lick, I believe, so that's progress.
Yeah, that is.
But he's not a guy that necessarily – like, I think he's learned a thing or two about how to play in his time in this league, where he's not as nearly as reckless and injurious as he was when he was a younger player. Like the Slewfoot thing that happened, I agree with him. Like it's not Brad Marchand, trademarked. Like it's a play that he's done in the past, but the last time he was suspended for it was 6 years ago. So I give him some credit for changing the way he plays, but that doesn't change the fact that when you look at that play, and you know, it's interesting. We've had so much discourse about PK Subban and the way that he plays and alleged Slewfoots from him. Take a look at the accusations of Slewfoots on Subban, and then take a look at what Marchand did, where he uses his entire upper body to throw Ekman Larson over his leg. That is so dangerous. Yep. And especially dangerous when you're going near the boards. Like it is an imminently suspendable play, and I have no problem with them throwing some games at Marchand.
Let's shift gears here, although we'll keep it somewhat similar. PK Subban's teammate, Jack Hughes, got paid yesterday. 8 years, $64 million. That's the extension. So that walks him up to age 28, if I'm not mistaken. So theoretically, he could be in line for another big contract when he hits free agency way down the road. It's a really interesting deal, one that's Jason and I. I mean, it raised eyebrows because it's a gamble. Make no mistake about it. So what the Devils have done is locked up Hughes, Heischer, and Dougie Hamilton, Triple H. Oh, I just came up with that one. And so that's
oh my God.
That's the core moving forward. But I mean, what did you think as a Devils fan? This is an awfully big gamble on a guy that only has 119 games of NHL experience, former first overall pick, but has missed a lot of time with injury, and only has 55 points in those 119 games.
So does that mean when Luke Hughes arrives, there'll be the 4-H club? I don't even know if you guys have the 4-H club.
There's a Simpsons reference about the 4-H club.
American
actually.
Reference, yeah. No, so here's the thing. First of all, I really feel bad for Nico Hischier because I believe, if you might have the numbers in front of you, he makes less against the cap than Jack Hughes does, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I got it here.
Okay, so he's demonstrably a better player than Hughes at this point in their careers and was a former first overall pick. And you know, one guy is getting paid more money for the potential of what he could become, but hasn't come close to being yet. And so I feel bad for Nico. Like, pay that man his money. He deserves it more than Hughes does at this point in their careers. But he doesn't have the potential of Jack Hughes, and he certainly doesn't have the marquee value of Jack Hughes.
Right.
And this is really where we are with the Devils right now. Like, they're hitching their wagon to a player that they not only feel is going to be one of the best players on the ice in the National Hockey League, but a player off the ice that can sell this franchise to a new generation of fans. Like, he is – I've been around this team. I was around the team a lot for the jersey unveiling. He is the cornerstone of the franchise when it comes to what they're building on and off the ice, and you have to secure that, and you have to show commitment to that. It can't simply be, hey, we'll wait and see what happens. This is Jack Hughes' team. It's Jack Hughes' team because he got this contract. It's Jack Hughes' team because they drafted his brother. It's Jack Hughes' team because, you know, when you draft a player like that first overall, you assume that he is going to actualize as the player that you drafted. And if he doesn't, then, I mean, hey, you took your shot. You think you had your franchise guy. It didn't turn out that way. You go to the next thing. But at the moment, like, this is the only path forward for the Devils. And they had to do what they did. I don't mind the contract. I'm a believer in Jack Hughes. I think that if he can stay healthy, which I know is tough when he's built like Timothy Chalamet, you know, it's going to be difficult to stay healthy. But if he can, I think he's got incredible skill. And, you know, with him and Heischer and now Dawson Mercer up the gut, the Devils really are building something really special at the forward spot.
Does it seem like the last few first overall picks have been a little bit disappointing compared to previous first overall picks? No offense, Wish, because I know two of them are on the Devils. But Nico Hischier, no, Rasmus Dahlin, Jack Hughes, Alexis Lafreniere, and then Owen Powers, who's still in at the University.
What a bust!
At the University of Michigan.
I take no offense. I mean, sometimes you end up with a phenomenal franchise generational guy, and sometimes you end up with a pretty good player. I mean, like, I'm never going to look at Ryan Nugent Hopkins and say, oh, man, he wasn't McDavid. Like, mm-hmm. he's a real good player. The whole point of the draft is to get real good players, and then occasionally you hit on ones that, that go beyond their expectation. In the case of Lafreniere, I mean, it's tough, right? I mean, there are times when he looks like he's going to be on track to becoming something, and then you just don't hear from him for weeks on end. In Hughes' case, I really do believe Hughes' case is just health, right? Like, I mean, He's missed significant time, I think, in two of his seasons. I was, you know, I remember thinking about Jack Hughes at the beginning of the season and being like, all right, here we go. And then I was starting to remember, oh, he's only played two games before he came back from injury last night. So I think we have to wait. I think it's also a situation in the case of Lafreniere, Kako, and Hughes that we have to give them a little bit of time to kind of still develop and all that stuff. So I'm with you. I mean, we haven't had the generational talent. Maybe Shane Wright ends up being that next year. But you know, they're all going to be, I think, pretty good players.
We're speaking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Wish, we talked suspensions earlier in this hit. I want to circle back on them, but as it pertains to Brendan Lemieux, who is suspended five games for biting yesterday. That was the rule coming down from the NHL's Department of Player Safety after he bit Ottawa Senators forward Brady Tkachuk. Now, I wanted to go in a different angle here because, again, you're a Devils fan and you grew up following those teams in the 90s in which Claude Lemieux played a major role. I do remember when it was Brendan Lemieux's draft year, when you do the profiles of him, and Claude Lemieux very specifically did not want his son to play professional hockey, in part because he felt it was going to be really hard for him to have a professional career given who his father was. And Brendan Lemieux has gone out there and said, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be even worse than my dad in some way, shape, or form. It's amazing to me that's like that's the path that he chose. I guess it's not because he said, like, I've emulated my game after my dad. But, I mean, he is quickly – we have a poll question up now. Who's the biggest villain in the NHL? Lemieux's on the list with Kane and Marchand. He's not getting a ton of votes. But
Marchand's still winning it here in Vancouver.
But the fact that Lemieux's in this conversation at all, given he doesn't have much of an NHL resume, it really does speak to how he's really embraced the role of being a villain in a past.
Yeah, but, I mean, when Claude Lemieux – first of all, in full disclosure, I actually mentioned this to somebody the other day when they brought up the Marchand taunting thing. They're like, oh, man, if he was taunting Jack Hughes, you'd feel differently about it. I'm like – let me tell you something right now. The first jersey I ever owned was Claude Lemieux.
Right.
Okay. I am a fan of a certain kind of player. I understand that kind of player, and I have an affinity for that kind of player. The problem with Brendan Lemieux. Well, first of all, I remember that quote from Claude, and I thought it was really funny because I always assumed it was like, if you're a serial killer, you don't want to have a child because you're worried they're going to become a serial killer.
Right. That was kind of the vibe that I got, right? It's like, you should.
Yeah, like it's inherent in his DNA. Yeah. The problem with Brendan is that he doesn't understand how his dad did it, which is that his dad could be the single most nefarious player in the National Hockey League in every way, shape, or form. But if you score in the playoffs and win a Conn Smythe, then you're going to be fine. Like, you know, people will put up with it, and you get to kind of like balance it out. Marchand figured it out. I don't know if Brendan Lemieux necessarily has the talent to kind of hit that sweet spot of being the guy that bites people but also scores big goals. But that's the balance you have to strike if you're going to be that kind of player. I don't know. I'm worried about Brady Tkachuk now because now, I mean, do we have to, like, observe him to see if he does transform into a Lemieux after being bitten by Lemieux? Right. I don't know.
Is it necessary for the NHL in their suspension videos to put things like, this is not a hockey play when it's biting? Like, are they so tied to the formula of the NHL suspension videos that they're like, all right, this is the part where we say this is not a hockey play?
I can't even imagine the giggle fest that was happening in the NHL headquarters yesterday when they were cutting that video. It's this is not a hockey play part that got me. It was the dramatic pause before, this is biting.
That's my favorite. Brian Leach on the narration. As you can see by the video,
God,
the incisors
so
pierce the skin.
It was so good. It's not the greatest look for the NHL, right? I mean, as hockey fans, we're always constantly fighting the battle of being like, hey, our sport is not how it used to be. It's not the 70s anymore. There's no bench-clearing brawls. You know, the players are taking care of themselves better. We banned hits to the head, yada, yada, yada. And then, like, your buddy who's not a hockey fan is like, hey, I heard somebody got bit last night. I'm just like, yeah, you know. Occasionally, people bite each other in our
game.
That
did happen.
You know?
Usually,
yes. They wait until the playoffs, but it's the weirdest thing to be a hockey fan, right? Like, it's on the one hand the thing that you have to like wince at because it makes our sport look just Neanderthalic, but on the other hand, it's like the funniest thing when somebody has to like get suspended for biting another player.
Wish, what did you think of Evander Kane's comments yesterday?
Oh, man, do the Sharks hate that guy. That was my first thought. Like, he was literally asked, Have any of your teammates reached out to you in the last month as they knew that your suspension was coming to an end and you were coming back? And he's like, no, but they've been really busy. Like, okay, buddy.
I think they're just giving me my space.
Right. He's like, oh, you know, I've been really busy and they've been really busy. I don't know. I mean, we've had a text chain for the last 4 years, but I guess, I don't know. They just got real busy, I suppose.
What with the holiday season coming up and everyone's so busy.
Oh, totally, totally. I mean, it does seem like that there is, he seems privy to a pending solution to his plight. It seemed that was one of the takeaways, was that his new agent, Dan Milstein, and the Sharks are obviously working to figure out a destination for him. Retention of salary either by the Sharks or a third team is obviously on the table. And, you know, it feels like there's some wheels in motion for him to go someplace else. And then, of course, brings us to the real question of who would want him, right? And a lot of people have been kind of wondering if first of all, everyone's going to want him because he can score 30 goals, right? Like, that's the NHL for you. But the real question for me is whoever acquires him, is there backlash? Like, does the fan base say, hey, we don't want this guy? Does the locker room say, hey, we don't want this guy? I don't know. It's a fascinating situation because it's not simply just like the toxicity of a player that was suspended for faking a vaccination card. I mean, frankly, around this league, you might be applauded for that, knowing what I know about some of these guys. But it's also a guy that had all these other investigations, and the sexual assault stuff, accusations from his estranged wife. And just, you know, it's not as if the guys in the Sharks room don't talk to their friends on other teams. Like, his reputation around the league has been well established now in 3 tour stops, where each time he leaves with people just throwing him under the bus, basically, when he leaves town. So, like, it's going to be interesting to see what the ramifications are, not only for the fan base that of the team that acquires him, but for that locker room, too. There's so much extra stuff beyond the guy's ability on the ice, and the guy's ability on the ice is pretty darn good. I mean, he had his best offensive year last year in a season in which he was, like, constantly in the news for facing bankruptcy hearings and stuff.
Have you heard of any teams that might be interested? Mike and I were just throwing around some teams, and I was kind of like, well, I don't know. Like, it'll probably be a team that has, you know, we've got a strong leadership group, and we think we can take a guy like that. And I threw out Pittsburgh just because they don't have much to sell either, right? Like, you know, would they take a guy like Evander Kane? That's just pure speculation on my part. Have you heard any teams that might be interested?
I haven't. I mean, it's been kind of quiet, and the process is going the way it's going. I mean, maybe Montreal before they got rid of Bergevin based on their draft record.
I'd say that's like the least likely place now, just because they did do that thing.
Well, it's possible. I mean, it's just joking. But
no,
like,
I know.
I have no idea who. Let me put it this way. I don't know what GM is bold enough to throw a guy in the room like that and be confident that it's not going to mess with your chemistry. And it may take a team like Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. where not only do you have strong leaders in the room like Sid, but you've got like Brian Burke at the top of the pyramid with that franchise as someone who can maybe keep things in line too. It's going to be really interesting. I mean, for a very long time, the NHL's Island of Misfit Toys was the Nashville Predators, right? And so the idea of David Poile taking on someone with a lot of baggage, he's done it multiple times. And then the last time someone took on somebody with significant baggage was the Carolina Hurricanes with Tony DeAngelo, which has worked out really well for them. So it's going to take a GM being very confident that bringing on Evander Kane is not going to upset the apple cart, because he's got a few years left in that deal. It ain't like he's going UFA after the season either.
I'm glad you brought up the Carolina Hurricanes, because I wanted to close with this. And in a day of lots of off-ice drama, so think about yesterday. You had the Marchand stuff, you had the Evander Kane stuff, and the Brendan Lemieux stuff. The NHL stayed busy by fining Rod Brind'Amour $25,000 for inappropriate behavior stemming from his rant, I would call it, and then ejection in their previous game against the Washington Capitals. Now, this one's interesting. It didn't get as much publicity as the other ones, but we won't play the audio now, but Brind'Amour seemed really taken aback and really disappointed that he got fined and that his behavior was tagged as inappropriate. And then I know I was scrolling through your timeline. You retweeted that memo from the NHL that Alan Walsh threw out there for all to see. I did not realize that this was a real point of emphasis for the NHL to clamp down on coaches, I don't even know how to put it, I guess being demonstrative or popping off during a game. Because it used to be where a coach would get his, you know, whatever he wanted off his chest, and he'd say what he said, and then he gets ejected, and that's the end of it. But it doesn't seem as though that's the end of it anymore.
Yeah, and this, I mean, the two things, my two reactions to that were, one, this kind of falls in line with the NHL's steadfast defense of their on-ice officials.
Right,
like, okay. They go to the mattresses for these guys. Like, they don't want them to be embarrassed. They don't ever want them to be touched. Like, we've seen through the years that when it comes to the on-ice officials, that they're very protective of them. And it may be a situation where, you know, the officials or Stephen Walcom or whoever, the head of officiating or whoever, came and said, hey, we need to do something about this stuff with the coaches because it's getting out of hand. The other reaction is quite an easy one, which is that if the NHL tells you not to act a certain way, you would act a certain way, like within like 2 months of learning not to act that way, you're going to get fined because they're looking to make an example of you. And so Brenda Moore being upset about it, I think is understandable. But I mean, we've also seen time and time again, the NHL swinging the big hammer the first time they get a chance to emphasize what it is that they're trying to prevent people from doing in this league, whether it's a suspension in the preseason or something like this. It all kind of fits into the pattern of behavior we've seen from the league on things like this.
Wish, great stuff today, bud. Thanks a lot for doing this. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll talk again next Wednesday.
You got it, boys.
Thanks, Wish.
Greg Wyshynski from ESPN here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Coming up, Ken Warren from the Ottawa Citizen is going to join us to talk all things Senators. Originally, I wasn't really interested in getting a Senators guest, but then I was like, oh, wait a minute. They are tire fire again. Mm-hmm. They briefly put out the flames. It was smoldering there for a while. They won a bunch of games at the tail end of last year. They looked like they were a team on the grow. And then it started burning again.
Do they have COVID excuses, though?
Well, Matt Murray got waived.
Yeah.
He's now in the minors. There's a lot of heat on Pierre Dorion for some of the moves that he's made and whether he's kind of hamstrung this great young core that's coming up. They do have COVID issues. At least on points, they're the worst team in the NHL.
The Canucks are going to beat Montreal and Ottawa back-to-back, and it's going to be like, Canucks are back, baby. Look at the standings.
We took care of the other two worst teams in Canada. So I thought, you know what? Let's check in on Ottawa because we love drama. We love dysfunction. We love a good tire fire. And right now, the Sens are definitely in that conversation. So Ken Warren's coming up next. That's at 7 o'clock. Before we get to any of that, though, Jason, tell the fine folks about ZLC Financial.
It is the official financial sponsor of Halford and Brough. That would be ZLC Financial. It's your one-stop solution for all your financial and retirement needs in Vancouver. A big part of ZLC's process, and you have to trust the process, is getting to know you and what you want. For example, Halford, you want a boat. No, wait, that's me. I want the boat. What do you want?
Also a boat.
Also a boat. To learn more, visit ZLC.net. And remember, advice is only as good as the person you ask.